Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 174. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Oysters!
Oysters?
Oysters.
No.
I'm drinking beer made from oysters.
That's gross.
Jeff is here too, hopefully not drinking seafood slime.
I'm drinking something.
It's not slime, it's delicious. Stout, made with oysters. It's good stuff.
Chris, gross.
Yep. Yeah. I don't like oysters. I like seafood, but...
It doesn't taste like oysters. It's not like oyster-flavored beer.
Just drink your slime and enjoy it. Oh, that's disgusting.
I've ruined beer forever for you. No, I probably haven't.
No, that's impossible.
Jeff will just dream of something else that's not oyster-related. We haven't talked about new games in a while. So last week we did top 20 of our top 50.
So. Seems so long ago.
Yeah. That turned out pretty well. I think we all ended up happy with that list. So.
Absolutely.
It's a PS4 launch day.
Merry launch day.
Comes, yeah. I will have my PS4 by the time people are listening to this.
I already have my copy of Madden.
That's good. that's a weird, like, I don't remember that with the last gen, but really weird to, like, walk in and be able to buy games and accessories.
I seem to remember the accessories being available before the consoles.
I can say that with Wii U, it was the same deal. Like you could buy games early. Like I don't know why. Like people did it.
It's just a coaster at that point, right?
I mean, pretty much. Right. I guess it's just like they're so excited they want to sit there and stare. Like I'm gonna play you in a couple days. You know. I have no idea.
Yeah,
I don't know why the publishers release them early, even. You know what I mean?
Right.
Why would you put them on shelves a week before the console comes out?
And in the case of, like, the DualShock 4 and, like, some of the other games, like, they've been out even more than a week before that. Like,
yeah.
Like, I mean, DualShock 4 has been out since, I believe, Halloween. Like, and I get it. You can... You know, with a micro USB, you can plug that into your PC and kind of mess around with it there, but I don't know, that's not how I want to experience that controller the first time. Like, how does it work within this Steam game?
And you're just experimenting with it. You're going to make yourself hate the controller before you ever get the chance to use it for real.
Right, because it's not designed for that. Like, I mean, it's designed specifically for this system, so...
And you know if you're going to buy it, you're going to mess around with the thing. You can't help it.
Yeah, like I would have ripped it out of the box, pressing all the buttons, probably broken it by now. Like, I mean, there's nothing else to do with it except take it apart, right? Like, luckily, I'm not getting a second controller. And I don't have any next-gen games sitting here staring at me going, play me, but you can't yet.
I have one of those.
Yeah. Copy of Madden. we've actually played some games that are out.
What?
No.
Play, like,
it's impossible.
On consoles that are already out. Last-gen consoles. Old-gen. I don't know. What's the term for that?
Right. Just move these to the old folks' home.
I guess let's start with the one that's oldest now. Tony, you've been playing Assassin's Creed 4.
Yes. So I talked about it 2 weeks ago on the podcast.
A little bit. You had just started playing.
I had just started it, and I was pretty down on it. And now having played a lot of it, I have to say I think this is probably the best Assassin's Creed game.
Nice.
Once you get past all the, like, the intro, very, I won't call it Assassin's Creed-y stuff, but it's really, it's a whole lot of been there, done that. But then during one of the missions, you end up stealing a ship. And once you get that ship and you sail out to sea, the whole world opens up. And you get to experience the really fully formed and really amazingly executed naval portion of the game, which is awesome in every possible way. So basically, you're a pirate. You have your pirate ship. You can sail around and just start attacking random ships when they go by and, like, capturing them and stealing all their stuff. And you can use that to build up your pirate base and, you know, buy more pirate things, you know, wooden legs and eye patches and whatever. And it's just, it's really cool. It's fully realizing some of the other concepts you've seen in previous Assassin's Creed games, like with the base building, that kind of thing. Except it feels more real. Like, you don't feel like you're building things just to build them. Cause most of the money you spend is going to be spent on your ship, making it stronger, making you able to, like, fight better battles, and, like, increasing the strength of your broadside or adding new guns to your ship and that kind of thing. So it all feels like really useful, and you're not just doing it just because it happens to be there and you have this money, you have to spend it on something. It gives it like a really tangible effect. And then while you're out there attacking enemy ships, and basically the naval combat's really cool. So you fight the enemy ships, you sail around. It feels really good. I was actually kind of worried from the naval combat you saw in Assassin's Creed 3, because it kind of just felt funny. But this feels really natural using the controller to maneuver your ship in the combat and try to get the broadside at the right way and try to get a position on the enemy ship where you can shoot at them, but their guns are facing the wrong direction and that kind of thing. And it feels really natural. It's got a cool flow to it. And then when you reduce the enemy ship to a certain point, you can choose to either sink them, like by continuing to fire, or you can actually go and board the enemy ship. Okay. And the boarding actions are awesome. So you release the ship's wheel, so you're free to like walk around your ship, and like jump into the water and like swim up to the enemy ship, or you can like grab a rope from your rigging and like swing overboard, you know, to hop over the enemy ship and try to take it over. Really, really cool, really well executed type deal. And the bigger the ship, the cooler the battle is. So the small ships, you basically just have to kill a bunch of their crewmen. But when the ships get bigger, there's like objective points on the other ship that you have to actually take. So it's like fighting like a land battle on sea. And your crew will start to board with you. So there's like this battle going on. That you can like you feel like a participant in like an actual like fight, and it's just it feels really cool. It feels great. And then once you take the enemy ship, there's this thing called Kenway's fleet. So you can actually decide to take that ship and put it as part of your fleet, and then you can send those ships off to fight battles or to go on missions, kind of like you did with the assassins in previous games. It's got that whole management aspect where you send them off to get experience and they come back with gold and with items and that kind of stuff. So, I mean, it kind of like builds on itself.
So there's a benefit to kind of doing that stuff.
Right. I mean, you can also like sink the enemy ship, or you can like send it back off to whoever it happened to be from and use that to reduce your wanted level and that kind of stuff. So there's some other aspects there too, but the naval part makes this a completely different game. Like, I could live without all the Assassin's Creed stuff, because this is a fully formed pirate game with some Assassin's Creed stuff tacked on.
Yeah, I heard like the main character really isn't an assassin.
No, he's not at all. In fact, the assassins don't like him. I won't go into why that is.
Right, but,
He's definitely not an assassin. And he's also, I find him very one-dimensional. He's got the same, like, he just wants more. He wants more stuff.
So he's like, obviously he's like this, your kind of stereotypical pirate. Like.
Right. And of course, because he's a pirate, they like throw in all these historical pirates. So you meet Captain Kidd and Blackbeard.
Now I heard like the upgrading mechanic kind of like works a little bit like Far Cry 3, where it's like go, you know, hunt these two great whites or whatever, and then you like, does that kind of work for this game or?
That kind of stuff is more, say ephemeral. It's not, like the actual upgrades to your ship. It's all the, kind of look and feel stuff, like what color your sails are, that kind of thing.
Right.
So that kind of stuff isn't really necessary to make your ship better. It just makes you better looking, but I mean, it's kind of fun to do. You can also go whaling, which I haven't tried yet, but you can like dispatch this little rowboat out from your ship and like go out and spear whales, which is kind of cool.
It sounds it.
Oh, it's the game is a lot of fun. You can attack forts, so there'll be forts that are on the sea, and you can like bombard them from your ship, and like reduce like the towers, and then you can like board them and like take it over.
Okay.
So you like fight battles over the forts. It's a really cool concept. I was really surprised after how messy Assassin's Creed 3 was to see Assassin's Creed 4 come out with like a portion of its game that was fully realized and like fully baked. And I will say the last time I was complaining about the guards like spinning in place, I haven't seen anything like that since. So it's been remarkably unbuggy.
That's cool.
So I'm having a lot of fun with it. I think it's incredible.
You're playing it on 360?
360, yeah.
So how does it look?
How does it
look? On par with like Assassin's Creed 3 and previous games?
Yeah, I mean it's fine.
Little bit of pop in here and there, but
I haven't seen any pop in. I gotta be honest. Okay. It looks fine. I haven't like nothing. Like from a technical aspect, the game has been perfectly fine. Save for that one issue with the AI, like the guy spinning around.
Right.
I haven't. Like nothing.
Cool.
So the game is awesome. I like it so much more than I like 3. And with the naval aspects, it's a completely different experience. Which I think Assassin's Creed has needed for a long time.
What do you think of the setting? Like the Caribbean setting or whatever?
I like how they toss in a lot of stuff to really set the stage for you. So like when you're sailing around in your ship, your pirates are singing like sea shanties.
Yeah.
And there's actually one of the collectibles in the game is more music for them to sing. So you can like go into towns and like track down more songs. And you can actually pick which songs your crew people are singing. Which is cool. I mean, most of the towns and the villages you see are really small. As opposed to like previous games where you have like towering buildings or like a fully formed Boston. Every city in this game seems to be smaller than that. But that's kind of fine because you have this whole like Caribbean to sail around in.
Yeah.
But most of the town and villages, they're just like groups of huts. And, like you feel like you could run all the way across them in 2 minutes.
I think that 2 weeks ago when we talked about it, we kind of questioned the extra hour of content on Sony platforms.
Oh, it's still a waste. There are hours and hours and hours of content in this game. I don't know what an extra hour of content in this game would look like.
Well, yeah, well if you have both systems, why would you? I don't know. It's not really I know there's multiplayer on the game, but
like you play through the game for like 100 hours, you're like, oh, I found the extra hour.
Yeah, it's evidently like a missions involving Aveline, who was the main character of the Vita game last year.
Which I heard they re-released, like, on the PlayStation Store or the PC.
Or going to be, I don't...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, it's going to be on both, I believe on 360 and PS3. But I don't think it's out yet.
Yeah.
Anybody that I know that has the Sony version hasn't been able to find out how to access that stuff, so. I don't know if it's all that worthwhile. Like, maybe it's probably like in plain sight and it's just, there's not like an arrow pointing to it, so.
There's just so many other things, just like I can't find it and all this other stuff, I guess. There's assassination missions everywhere, there's like requests from the assassins to do this, and. Like, this fort needs to be taken. There's so many things to do in the game. I can imagine, unless you looked in the exact right place, you would never find it.
So, that's Assassin's Creed 4. Review coming at some point?
Yes, probably very soon.
Jeff, you played some Call of Duty.
Yeah!
Ghosts. I did as well.
You finally... Was today the first day you actually played it?
Yeah.
Jeez.
I mean, I just got it Tuesday. Picked it up on Tuesday, so.
Okay.
Like this past Tuesday. Not on the 5th, so.
Okay.
So I've only had it for like a day. But I did finally sit down and, play a little bit of it. Start out with a campaign, as people are wont to do. That game's, it's hysterical. Like, I laughed through the entire first level.
Yeah, it's like when you're on that, like, space station.
But, yeah. So it starts out like your dad is telling you a story. Like, and you're not, like, this little kid. Like, you're like a 20-something-year-old. And you're, like, sitting on a rock with your dad. And he's, like, telling you and your brother this story about these, like, ghosts. Like these mythical warriors that like fought, it sounds like again the Middle East somewhere, and it's so dumb. It's all told in like these still, kind of like still mannequin style, and then it pops out and like you're walking back with your dad to your house, and it's like an earthquake, and then it's not an earthquake. Like, obviously you're being attacked, and then it jumps to 15 minutes prior and you're in space, which is cool.
Yeah.
Like it's actually like, all right, it's like, all right, I'm in space, like I don't quite know why I'm here, but this is cool. Like you're you know, floating around space, and you're moving towards like the space station, and and then the space station gets boarded by South American terrorists.
What do they call them? The Federation?
Yeah, the Federation. I've heard some people like South America doesn't have astronauts. It doesn't really matter. Like,
it's really ridiculous. Right. The whole story is
like if that's what you're gonna gripe on, you're really jump. Like, you are in space shooting guns at people boarding a space station, trying to commandeer like a military satellite that is going to destroy like North America. So it's pretty freaking absurd. and then you're like shooting people through their you know helmets, and then you have that, you know, at this point kind of a Call of Duty moment where this guy you don't know anything about dies as you are. As gravity is pulling you back into Earth, so like upon reentry, you are burning up.
Oh yeah,
enter the Earth's atmosphere.
Great.
And then it jumps back to the two brothers, where the entire world is falling apart, and you are doing this like weird platforming segment, jumping onto roofs of buildings and into ditches that used to be parts of roads. And at the end, like, you somehow get hit by something, and you wake up, and your dad is there with their truck. Now, you've just been running along a road that is, like, falling apart. Craters are massive, and your dad is there with his truck. Like, it's so dumb. It's Call of Duty.
Yeah, trust me, the story doesn't get a whole lot better from that. I totally forgot that opening section, though, where it's, like, it's you and your dad, isn't it?
It's you and your brother and your dad.
Okay, yeah.
And then your dad runs off. He's like, I'm going to go get the truck. You guys go in the house. And, like, you get in the house, and the house is just falling apart. And your brother's like, yeah, maybe we shouldn't stay here. that game's funny.
The campaign itself for me, like, I beat it already.
Okay.
Just really dull for the most part. And I forgot what review I read where, like, it's like the greatest hits of Call of Duty, and that's kind of what it is. It's just, like, everything that you remember from, like, there's a slow-mo part where you have to pick up a gun and fucking shoot somebody or whatever, you know, like, or you have to breach a door, like, and, or, like, anything you think of that's been done in Call of Duty is in this.
Yeah, it's kind of like Infinity Ward, just like, all right, what were, like, the coolest things we ever did?
Yeah.
Let's put them all in this, like, which is weird because that's kind of what Treyarch used to be known for, is like they kind of just mimicked what Infinity Ward did, but I think definitely the roles have been reversed. Treyarch releases the premier Call of Duty game, and this is an off-year game. Clearly an off-year game.
Yeah, like, that's weird. Yeah, Treyarch stepped up, and like, I know a lot of people think that Black Ops 2 and Black Ops 1 are like the best ones.
I liked Black Ops 1, and I thought Black Ops 2 was really good for what it was, and it tried new things for Call of Duty.
But yeah, this one feels, like, very uninspired. Although, I will say that, like, the last, like, first of all, the whole game, like, these Call of Duty games now, especially, like, more recent, is, like, it's constant explosions and shit going off everywhere.
Yeah, it's a Michael Bay movie.
But it's, like, when they do it that, like, Call of Duty 4 wasn't really, like, that as bad. Like, when it's constantly cranked up to 10, you kind of, like, you get dulled, like, or numb to it.
Yeah.
But I will say, like, the last couple levels, they crank it up an extra notch. They crank it up to 11.
Really?
And there were some, I thought, really fun levels, including another one in space, where, like, you're flying through space and you, like, have to, whatchamacallit, you know, raise and lower yourself.
Oh, okay. I'm not having fun with the campaign. It's just it's just stupid. Like,
it's okay.
Yeah, it's really. It's point a gun and shoot shit. Like, and it's like these are, like, as you kind of said, the greatest hits of Call of Duty. Like, it's just kind of, you know, run down this alley and blow a helicopter out with a rocket launcher and. It's alright. It's kind of fun.
Yeah. There wasn't a single thing in it that, like, I felt was new or innovative. And there wasn't, like, any moment in it that was, like, a big standout, like, oh my god, holy shit, that just happened.
Right.
Just...
But as I'm playing it, like, I'm not finding any of it bad. It just is.
Yeah. It's Call of Duty.
Yeah. It's Call of Duty. It's a well-made game. The shooting still feels really good. It's just, I mean, at some point the stories have gone completely, like, off the rails, and it's how many times can you kind of tell, like, America Gets Invaded story before it's, like, really, really ridiculous. But, I mean, this might be the one. But I'm having fun shooting crap in it. Did you play any of the multiplayer?
I've played a decent amount. And I actually, like, for once tried some different modes. I usually just do free-for-all or team deathmatch. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm confused by it.
are you talking about the leveling system? Because I found that very confusing.
I have no idea what the hell's going on. All
right, first up, is that, like, did they do that in Black Ops 2 or Modern Warfare 3? All right.
No, Black Ops 2 was more the traditional style. Like, the way you got your guns and stuff was a little bit different, where you have, like, these kind of coins to spend on guns, which is, it's still there for this, but it's like, yeah, like, you now have a squad and different characters that you level.
There's, like, a roster of, like, I don't know, fucking 13 characters or whatever, where you can play as, and you have to level them up separately. So this is for like, people who, like, that's all they do is play this game, I imagine. I mean... But, what the fuck? fuck, where was I going with this? Oh, the thing that pisses me off about the leveling up, like, system in that game is, like, in the earlier ones, if you unlock something, it was, like, right in your face about it. There's a little star next to it.
Yeah, I told you, this is what you got. And
yeah. Like, it took me forever to figure this one out. Like, it's basically just, you have to go through, like, your perks and whatnot and see what is no longer grayed out. Like, there's no, like, it doesn't stick out at all.
Yeah, like, I brought this up on Twitter. Like, the old ones were, like, you unlock stuff by doing challenges. So, like, you would do, like, you'd unlock something by, you know, calling in 25 UAVs or whatever. And that there was an easy way to look at, like, the hundreds and hundreds of challenges that were there and to kind of see what you were working towards. And then when you got it, like, at the end of a game and at the end of a match, like, all that shit would just pop up in your face and, like,
yeah,
this is what you got. And then there'd be, like, little, like, exclamation points or little star points telling you that there was new stuff in this area.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like the menuing system is so confusing, and I don't know where anything is.
It's for no reason because it was so simple and it works in like all the early ones. So I'm like, what are they doing here? And then I don't like also like the whole squad points things where like you could buy stuff early, and I mean I guess that kind of helps balance it a little bit. Like so, like an early player could buy like a great gun if they want to spend their points on that.
Right.
But it's fucking confusing as shit, man. Like, it took me, like, a week to figure out what the fuck is going on with that.
Right. Like, the old way was so intuitive. It was just like...
Yeah.
I got to level 25, so I unlocked this gun.
And it kind of took... It was, like, for a while before I figured it out, it was taken away from... Like, to me, like, the whole reason to play the multiplayer is to keep unlocking shit. You know what I mean? Like, I took away from that a little bit at first because I'm like, I don't know what I'm getting for doing any of this. Like,
right.
You know, I have to, like, dig through tons of menus.
Yeah, that was one of the things that, like, I mean, we kind of talked about that in you know, past years with Call of Duty, though. It's like, but you kind of get out there, you shoot some dudes, and then, it, like, the game just kind of gives you that, like,
yeah.
Every couple of books, like, you're, like, always getting something, and it's like, I always felt like I was advancing in that game, and now it's like, I don't know where... I think I'm advancing.
Exactly.
I don't know what I'm advancing towards. It's like
so like Black Ops. Black Ops 2 wasn't really like that.
Not as bad as this. No, like I thought Black Ops 2 made sense. Like it still had the you go to the barracks and you go to your challenges. Like there was just so much of it in Black Ops 2 that I got overwhelmed. But it still did make some sort of sense.
Let me ask you this. It's a quick aside. I could get Black Ops 2 for Wii U for $16. Should I do it?
No.
Yeah, you know why? Because nobody's playing it.
Like, I don't know. The base is growing.
Maybe. But I wouldn't. Like, I honestly wouldn't, only because the gameplay's fine on the Wii U. I played it last year at launch with the Wii U, and... It plays fine, but there was never more than 800 people total online for that game.
Okay.
And that
so
was at
like,
launch.
Would that, like, cause, like, trouble for you finding a game?
Yeah, because the only game mode that anybody was playing was Team Deathmatch. So if you wanted to play anything else, Free for All, Search and Destroy, there was nobody playing any of that shit.
By the way, let's get into the game modes for Ghost. Well, you haven't played online at all, have you?
I played a little bit.
Okay.
A couple rounds of Team Deathmatch. And
okay.
Squads, but we can get into squads in a little bit.
Yeah, I tried squads. There's actually three for me that I like so far. There's one called Infected, which is basically zombies from Halo.
Right.
Isn't that what it was called in Halo?
Yeah.
Same thing, really fun. Another one that I like is called Blitzed, where you just have to reach an enemy goal. Like, that's it. You just have to run through it.
Okay.
I don't know, I was having fun with that. And then there's another one called Cranked, which I was loving over the weekend, because in Cranked, and you guys have to let me know if these were in any of the previous ones, I don't know.
I know Cranked is brand new.
Okay, in Cranked, if you kill somebody, it starts a 30-second timer, and at the end of that 30-second timer, you, like, blow up and die. So, in Cranked, once you kill somebody, you have to keep killing someone within 30 seconds to stay alive. But... I think it's really cool. But while you are cranked, after you kill someone, you get double XP on every kill. So over this last weekend, they had a double XP weekend, and I'm getting...
You were ranking him like, in.
Yeah. That's fucking fun as hell.
I guess that... It actually sounds pretty cool if it works, so...
Well, and also it helps if you could kill more than one person in a row.
Right.
Which usually I don't.
I'm not that good.
I'm awful. I'm terrible.
I mean, I have got a couple of the... I think they're called SATCOM stations now. It used to be the UAV...
Mm-hmm.
Kill streak, but I've only gotten a couple of those, and I got the dog a couple times, which was.
I got the dog a couple times, but I don't know what to do with that. Like, do you control the dog at all?
No, the dog is just like there. He'll attack. Like, if you get close enough to somebody, it will attack an enemy.
I see people with like free roaming dogs though. Like sometimes I get killed, and it's just a dog, and they killed.
Maybe that's an extra kill streak, like at a different point.
Huh.
But yeah, like that. You're guard dog is what the 5-kill streak dog is. It's literally that. It's a guard dog.
I'll tell you, if you get attacked, I don't know if you've been attacked by those dogs, it's like one touch kill. Like if you come within 5 feet of it, you're dying.
Oh really? Like I've killed a couple dogs, but none have killed me yet. So, but I haven't played enough of it.
Instant death.
Well, I guess there's a couple things. There's Extinction, which is the alien kind of...
I tried it.
Is it any good?
It's okay. It's like...
It's like Horde mode, right? Mode.
Yeah, it's like Horde mode.
Yeah, I haven't played it yet. But then there's Squads, which is the other new addition.
I don't get, like, it's just practice, right? Like...
Yes and no.
Because you could play with other people. Like, I played against another team. All right. Like, it was like me... versus some other guy, and we both had a bunch of bots on our team.
Yes, and it's your bots, though, so it's your squad. So that's why they want you to like level up your different squad mates, because you'll unlock the different weapons for them and the different perks, and you can set them up how you want. And supposedly, it's kind of like a drivatar thing. I hate that fucking word. But, like, where it will kind of gather your player data the way you play. So if you're playing an assault class, it will gather the way you play an assault class. And it will attribute that to the squad mates that you have set up as an assault class. And then if you are playing, like, the sniper class, like, it'll gather the data how you play that. And then your bots, when you're playing, will play that way. Like, you're going to control one of the bots. But so it's not a bot. But what can also happen is your friends can challenge your squad. Like, you don't have to be playing. They can challenge your squad, so it brings your bots into their game, and they can play against you. So I actually played Walter's his squad, and another. Like, I lost by my team of bots lost by 2 in that round, and the other one I played another of my friends, his squad, and I won by like 11 there. So it's kind of cool because like you're kind of playing against your friends, but not really. But it also you're also ranking up your along the way. So
nice.
It's not like in the past where if you were to go into a private game. Where if you were to play with your friends, like you would level up like a second private character, like an offline character or whatever, which was stupid because it's like I spent all this time playing regular multiplayer, so now all those unlocks just carry over across modes, which is kind of cool. So I can jump in and play team deathmatch and get experience there, but then I can jump in and play squads against like. My friends' squads, or against other people, against, you know, cause you can actually do the 1-versus-1 squads as well, and, you know, level up my characters that way. So, you know, when you don't feel like playing a team deathmatch against a bunch of assholes, you can just jump in and, you know, play against your friends, but not really play against your friends. It's interesting. I don't know how well it'll work, but I'm interested to keep, you know, plugging along at it. It's Call of Duty, though.
Yeah. Enjoy that story. It's
Woo!
How long did the campaign take you?
Not long at all. Like, I think I beat it within 3 days of buying it, but in terms of hours, 5, maybe. It's really short.
Okay.
There's tons of levels. There's probably like almost 24 levels, but they're all really short, so for the most part.
Tony, I think you're doing our next gen review of that. Is that
accurate?
So enjoy yourself.
We'll have to play some when
it's a 3.
When you get a hold of it. It's all right. Yeah, it's not a bad game. It's just, okay.
Yeah.
It's Call of Duty.
Yeah.
I'll be interested to see what they do next year. Let's put it that way.
Treyarch next gen one. Yeah.
I think that one could actually be pretty good. This definitely feels like just kind of like, all right, we're gonna shit this game out.
It's so funny though to say that, like Treyarch. Yeah, the Treyarch one's gonna be better,
right.
Infinity Ward is not really Infinity Ward.
No. If you want that Infinity Ward game, that's coming in March with Titanfall.
Yeah,
so
it'll be cool.
I played a couple other games as well. There's a new Ratchet and Clank game. Did you guys know that?
Yes. Well,
a what?
Yes.
Yeah, Sony kind of just threw that out the other day.
So you were playing?
I played about 20-25% of it. It's short. It's a $30 game. It's the budget price game. But it is a return to form for Ratchet and Clank. It's a classic Ratchet and Clank game where, you know, it's an action platformer with a story that kind of makes some sort of sense. It plays really well. The weapons are cool. New upgrade system for the weapons, where you need to get like a different sort of currency. So everything used to be done by bolts. That was kind of the currency in the game. That's still there. That's used to buy weapons and ammo. But now when you upgrade, you need like these crystals. And there's like this weird, almost like a RPG sort of track where you're upgrading different aspects of the gun. So you can get more ammo, you can get more, you can make it stronger, you can get more bolts when you play it. I don't know. It's weird. But it's Ratchet. Ratchet and Clank. So. And Sony probably should have had this as a PS4 launch title. Along with Gran Turismo 6. I don't understand why they didn't do that, especially with the news from earlier. The other game I played was Nazi Zombie Army 2.
Yes, game of the year.
Yeah. Much like Nazi Zombie Army 1.
It's like, let's throw every cliche we can together and then make it a sequel.
Yeah. I think I talked about this game back in February or March when I played the, not this one, when I played the original one that came out literally 8 months ago. I mean, it's not a great looking game. It's not a great playing game. It has a couple cool gimmicks, particularly the bullet cam and x-ray shots when you snipe zombies from across the map. That's always cool to like watch when you hit somebody from like 200 meters away, and you watch the bullet just zoom in, like you watch it leave the muzzle of your gun and just fly across the map, you know, into the chest of a zombie or into the head, and then, you know, when it does go into the head or the chest or anywhere, like it'll go into this X-ray mode and you'll watch like the body explode and the bullet come out the back, and it's very grisly but satisfying. Like you feel like, yeah, I got that fucker. It's kind of a Left 4 Dead-ish type game though, so you probably want to play with other people. They did a good job of making it more single player worthy this time around. So, oh, it's more Nazi Zombie Army if you're into that. It's cheap. I think it's like $15. Plays very well with the controller, although if you're playing on PC, you probably want to play mouse and keyboard. So, yeah, Nazi Zombie Army, Game of the Year 2, whatever it was. I don't really remember which one I played. Played them both. We got any news?
Well, I don't have a whole lot of news because it's kind of all gotten drowned out by the whole console launch thing. But there is one story that I suppose we should bring up.
All right.
So there is this game called, I believe it's Blackwell Deception.
Okay, I've not heard of this.
It had a kind of a horror Halloween theme. It's an adventure game. The designer of the game decided to give it away for free on Halloween. A sort of a promo thing, you know, so people would get the game and, you know, lots of people would play it and get his name out there or whatever. So he came up with this idea. He would give the game away, offered it for download from his website. He started to get complaints. Because people didn't just want a free game. They wanted a free game that they could play through Steam. So they wanted Steam keys. So it's like, I don't understand why people are complaining about getting something for free, but fine, we'll come up with some Steam keys. So he had Steam make a Steam key generator. People then started stealing the keys. For resale. So this the game was only free for one day, so people were taking as many Steam keys as they could get so that they could resell them once the game was no longer free. So he told them to turn the generator off. And then he went to bed, and he woke up the next morning, assuming that this whole situation was over. Overnight, someone had broken into the Steam key generator, which apparently had not been shut off properly, and overnight, over 30,000 copies of the game had been stolen.
Wow.
yes. And of course, whoever did it had covered their tracks well, so they'd masked their IP address, so they couldn't figure out who had done it. So 30,000 copies of the game were gone.
That sucks.
Best story ever.
Yeah. So, apparently they were able to, invalidate the keys that were generated after a certain point.
Okay.
But that still didn't stop the fact that some people had taken hundreds and hundreds of keys, which are still valid and are still able to be resold.
What's the name of this game?
Blackwell Deception.
Okay. okay.
I just this huge conspiracy to steal something that's free.
It's like an adventure game.
Right. It's an adventure game. That's the other thing is, how popular is this game? How many people care? I don't know, but enough people care to steal it 30,000 times in a day.
Stupid. wow. I don't even know what to say. Whatever.
People will steal anything. Go ahead.
Did you guys hear about Swapnote?
Oh.
The 3DS shutdown of it, basically.
Yeah. You ever use it?
I mean, I've gotten swap notes from Nintendo themselves, but I've never actually used it to send anybody anything.
I've used it here and there, and usually I'll get stuff from people. But I guess they shut down that entire service because they said kids were using it to send inappropriate pictures.
I'm shocked. Shocked, I say.
That entire thing was just drawing dicks. That's what it was for. And they shut it down.
They might as well call it Swab Dick.
You draw one and send it to me, and I'll draw one back. The occasional boobs.
Look, mine's got stuff shooting out. Look.
It's a cannon. Weird. Yeah, I did hear about that, though. That's strange. Although there was, I guess some Nintendo news came out today in regards to they're trying to unify their Nintendo ID. So at this point, there is...
two different wallets.
Yeah, separate IDs for 3DS and for Wii U.
And I think that's going to be cool.
Yeah, because it would be nice to be able to, like, you know, put money in my game wallet or whatever and be able to use it in either store.
Yeah.
So I guess that means, like, if you buy a 3DS, you know, card or whatever, it'll now be a 3DS Wii U card. I don't know if that's happened yet or when it will happen, but that does sound pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess the other big news is the PS4 has been reviewed. It's out there.
Reviews are everywhere for everything.
Yeah.
You know that, for example, Knack sucks.
That seems to be the general consensus on that game.
Are you still getting it, Chris? Have you changed your mind?
I changed my mind initially from... I canceled
both...
You
need something whimsical for launch. You just need it.
But the funny thing is, I'm going to have something whimsical in 7 days from the launch of that. And it's not on either the Xbox One or the PS4. Like,
exactly.
I don't need Knack because Mario's coming. And it's probably going to be better than most of the launch titles. If not all of the launch titles for both systems.
Nothing will be better than Rise. What are you saying?
I mean, I'm holding out hope that Rise is good.
I'm not holding out any hope.
That is the one game you're getting too, right? Like, are you getting two games?
I'll be getting more games than that, I'm assuming.
Okay.
But, are you like set on it? Like, even if it like gets bad scores?
I am
like,
getting Rise. It is happening. Yeah. It's pre-ordered. Okay. I'm done. I'm not thinking about it anymore. Rise is coming.
I am getting Rise as well. Actually, I'm
good. We can play the co-op multiplayer.
Cool.
There's an arena mode.
We'll play that once and then be like,
that's right. We can play that once and be like, oh, that sucked. Move on.
Yeah, like I'm actually a little bit disappointed in the way Killzone is reviewing as well.
Arthur Geese said it was the worst shooter coming out in the launch full of shooters.
There are a lot of shooters. I mean, that was the one game, though, that, like, it looked... Like, Knack was like, maybe it'll be good. But I'm not gonna, like... I'm not gonna hold my breath on that. But Killzone, like, has a decent pedigree. And it sounds like it's an okay game. Like, Arthur Geese at Polygon, like... He has very...
He's rough on shooters.
Yes. So I'm sure that Killzone will be okay, but yeah, like I'm really unexcited for the launch titles. The other big, like, it seems like the best game on the PS4 at this point is Resogun.
Right.
Which is free, so that's cool. The other free game, Contrast, is evidently a hot mess and...
Great.
Yeah. So we'll see, like, but I really don't understand why Ratchet and Clank and Gran Turismo 6, like, why they weren't like, you need to get these
right,
games.
That makes no sense.
I mean,
it won't even play on a PS4. That's like the worst part about it.
Right. Like, but to me, it would have made perfect sense to be like, all right, like, yeah, we'll up-res the textures or whatever to 1080p for Ratchet. It'll play, you know, most of these games aren't going to play like next-gen games anyway. Like, Assassin's Creed is going to play like Assassin's Creed,
yeah.
Whether you're playing on PS4 or, you know, previous gen. So they could have got away with, you know, kind of just up-resing everything and making it look better. It's really weird that they didn't do that. And Gran Turismo is really mind-boggling, like, why that is not there. But.
Speaking of up-resing, did you see Polygon's reviews of the Call of Duty PS4 versus Xbox One?
I saw the score. They gave the Xbox One a 0.5 score higher.
Because the frame rate drops.
Yeah, saying PS4 version has frame rate drops that you know make it actually play worse. Where the Xbox One doesn't have that frame rate issue. Evidently, it's the same problem that's on the PS3 version of the game as well. Jeff, have you noticed any of that?
Surprising.
In the campaign?
In general.
No. I get lots of lag, but I don't know if it's my internet or, like PSN. Like, I don't know.
Right.
As far as I know, my internet's, like, faster than it was in the last place, so.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, and that could very well be just, Call of Duty on.
Right, that could be PSN.
On Microsoft using dedicated servers, where on PSN they're using, you know, the host servers or whatever.
Yeah.
Which apparently all the games on Xbox One have dedicated servers.
Yeah, they're all given dedicated servers, so.
Which is nice.
There were some weird things that were called out about the PS4 though, outside of the games being okay, I guess.
Right.
The fact that like every game, which we kind of knew this, but every game kind of needs to be installed onto the system, or some sort of dump onto the system, and then it creates an icon. But there's no way of sorting it. It just throws it out there. So every time you play a game, like at some point, like you know, 5 years in, you're gonna have like a list of like 45 different games. And
right.
That seems a little weird. Like, why no organizational options?
And it's the same with the friends list.
Yeah, there's 2,000 slots, but there's no way to organize them into different folders or anything.
No, that gotta be able to update that at some point, you know.
Yeah, no, you gotta figure anything like that. It's just like, we needed to get this out the door. Like, all the extra stuff is, you know, to be determined.
Yeah, and I mean, like, you gotta remember that the Xbox Live we're using now is, like, the Xbox dashboard, that experience is not the same one that when the Xbox launched.
Right.
Do you guys remember the Blades? Like,
oh, yes.
Like, completely different than what is being used now, so. The eye, evidently, is, or whatever that is, the PlayStation camera.
Camera, yeah.
A mess. it's like a first version Kinect, but works worse.
Right.
Which, imagine
now
that.
You can see why it's not in the box.
Yeah. That was a smart move. Pull that out if that's how that thing works. I don't know. Sounds like it's pretty cool.
Oh, and the remote play. They tested the remote play. Apparently it has some issues similar to
the Wii U.
The Wii U. So walking around, you tend to lose connection, and if you move too far away and that kind of thing.
Yeah, so I don't know what use I'm going to get out of that. If any.
Like, it's like if you're in the same room and you're on the couch and somebody else is watching TV, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, right now I use that like off-screen functionality on the Wii U with my son. Like, I want to play Skylanders or Disney Infinity. All right, like, plug your shit in, flip it on over to that, and I can watch football or something while he's playing. Like, and that really works, but I don't see the need to play Killzone on my Vita. Right.
Another thing is, you start to worry about stuff like latency.
Right.
When you're doing that, and you wonder what games are going to have this functionality, because if it's just shooters, then that's going to kind of kill it, because you wouldn't be able to play online.
Right,
if there's any sort of latency, and you've got to figure there would be.
Well, when even there, like, I mean, just the way Call of Duty, Battlefield, Killzone work, like, you use both the shoulder buttons and the triggers, and there are no triggers on the Vita. Right. So how do you reconcile that? I'll be interested to try that out when I get my hands on Killzone. We'll definitely have that in our review, our PS4 review, our hardware review when that goes up, how that shit works and if it works. It sounds like there's a lot of cool shit in that box, but it's a little bit half-baked right now, and there's nothing to play on it. Like, nothing.
That's the problem, is that this is what the reviews say to me. It's probably the most powerful gaming console ever created, and there's nothing to play.
Yeah. It could be rough, because...
There's not a whole lot in...
Yeah,
in the next couple months coming.
I mean,
I'm not buying anything until next year. Like, I would. Like, believe me, if there was like one game I needed, I would buy one of the systems. But no.
Like what? At this point, what is the game that would get you to buy a PS4, Jeff? Like, is there one that's been announced yet, or?
No. Okay. Like, let's say, theoretically, that Watch Dogs was actually coming out, and it was only on next-gen, then I'd be like, yeah, I kind of want that. You know, but even that, still I could buy on any of the systems I have.
Right. I mean, right now, like, if I wasn't getting either of the systems, the first game that would get me to buy it is Titanfall.
Yeah, I can see that.
Like that's
for me.
That's the one that screams next-gen to me.
Right.
Or Destiny.
Right.
Like, you know, a couple months later.
But those are going to be current gen as well, won't they?
They
both of them.
Well, what is it? Respawn has made it abundantly clear that they are doing the Xbox One version. The Xbox 360 version is being done by a different team, and they don't really have... Like, it's going to be a different game.
Yeah. Okay. So don't play that one.
Destiny, I don't know how different that's going to be. I mean, Bungie is working on all four versions of that game, so
we'll see. We haven't heard as much about Destiny in the last.
Yeah, and it's further out too. Like,
right.
I mean, the beta will be coming out, you know, spring next year. So, rumor is like June or July for that game to come out, but I wouldn't even be surprised if that waits
until
September.
If it was like September, yeah.
When Bungie games normally release. PS4, yay.
Yeah, I mean, it makes me both excited that I picked Xbox One, but for non-gaming reasons, but also worried that Xbox One is equally half-baked.
Yeah, like that's a little like you see this and it's like, ooh. I mean, Sony had all this kind of momentum. It was like they talked about all these features they were gonna have, and a lot of them aren't there at launch. And
right,
like, is that gonna be the same thing for the Xbox One? Like, are we not gonna have, you know, those features that they were talking about?
I just want to be able to sit on my couch and have Netflix work without me having to push anything. Basically, I want to become a big fat blob and, you know, just order my Xbox around with the sound of my voice.
Now, I did hear from people that have played the system at, like, Microsoft events, the whole, like, biometric system where it can tell...
Who's in the room?
And who is specifically, like, holding the controller? Like, or which one they're holding? That stuff sounds really cool. And it supposedly it works. Like, these are from other people that have played this thing.
Right.
Not just Microsoft employees saying that, like, you can pass the controller around. And then, like, if there are multiple people using the controller, it will tell by your voice where... Like, you can bring up your stuff instantly. Like, so if the three of us are all sitting there and, like, Jeff wants to bring up his list of games, he can just go Xbox games and it brings up his list. But then, like, Tony wants to bring up his list, he goes Xbox games and it'll instantly swap over to the other dashboard and bring up that stuff. Like, if that works properly, that's really cool. I don't know what the actual functionality of that is, because
I don't know
how many times you're going to have, like, multiple people with multiple Xbox Live accounts that are
right.
going to be doing this. It sounds cool.
That's the other thing about all these features. Like, you can tout as many features as you want. You're not going to know what you actually use until you get the damn thing.
I will say,
like,
this.
Does remote play matter, or is it going to matter?
That was funny last week on Twitter. It was like end of last week. Like, people like talking about how like remote play is really cool and like it's this solution to something. But what's the problem? Like,
right?
Like, what is it a solution to? Like, they were saying, does Xbox have a solution to this issue? Like, what's the issue?
Right.
Like. I think people are making up problems, just like... I mean, that's not to say that it's not cool, it is, but like, what's the actual need for it? And I think we won't know that. We probably won't know that for a couple months down the line, exactly what we're going to be using these things for and how we're going to be interacting with them. I will say this, the Xbox One... I'm going to take full advantage of that HDMI pass-through, though. That'll open up an extra slot on my
television. PS4?
Yeah. I might actually do that.
You're now the sub-console.
Oh, that'd be great. Let me just plug the PS4 into the Xbox One so I can plug it into the other outlet.
That's awesome.
I probably wouldn't do that. I'll probably plug in my Xbox 360 for, you know, consistency.
Yeah, I'm thinking about that, or, like, To take advantage of the television stuff, I guess you have to plug your cable box in through it. But
do you? So I'm gonna have to change like my whole setup. Great.
We'll see. I mean, I assume like for it to be able to go like, hey, I want to watch, you know, Monday Night Football, it would have to go through your cable box.
Damn it! No.
Yeah, so it's almost there, though. I mean, by the time people are listening to this, I will have a PS4, and we'll be a week away from Xbox One, so we will know. Have you guys seen any in the wild, like any kiosks or anything?
No, I haven't.
So my Walmart has an Xbox One set up.
Do you touch it?
You can. It's behind glass.
Did you, like, breathe on the glass, like, fog it up?
So I was, like, licking it. They told me to leave. But I found it
Chris
really
got weird. Arrested.
Yeah.
For licking the case.
So, that whole kiosk behind a glass?
Yeah.
It's fucking teeth. I just want to touch the
control. It's a sexy-looking box, but it's big. It is a big box. But the other side of it is, like, Sony has a kiosk as well, like this nice elaborate setup, same exact thing as that's what, but the system wasn't there. I mean, there's wires hanging out of the wall where it would go.
Someone stole
there's
it.
There's a monitor, but there's just, like, an empty box that says PS4 on it. Where the hell's the system? Like, why can't I see this? I also found it interesting that maybe this is just, you know, Microsoft has dumped some money into Walmart to say, hey, do this, but Microsoft has an end cap, so it's, like, right there in the aisle. So people walking down the main aisle by the electronics will walk right by the Xbox One, but to get to the PS4, you have to actually walk into the video game section a little bit further back, and it's like really weird to see how they have this stuff situated, and it's going to be interesting to see how people promote this and different companies and who paid who for promotion.
I bet you Microsoft pays for that space too to be on that. Cap.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's not just like Walmart going, oh yeah, this would be really cool.
No.
You know? I don't give a shit.
If Walmart was like, sure, like, we'll give you end cap space in all of our stores if you give us $50 million. it was funny, though, because the one day I was kind of, like, looking, I was walking by, and I was picking up an Xbox points card or whatever they call it now, currency card. And I was looking at the Xbox One, and they have the 12-month live subscriptions, and there's special ones for day one Xbox One. It comes in these nice black boxes, and it's like this like black credit card with this silver stripe across it that says Xbox Day One. And this lady
walked, great in my trash.
Right. But this lady walked up and went, "Oh, is it already out?" Like, I'm like, "No, it's like 2 weeks away, lady." And she's like, "That's what I thought. The 22nd, right?" Like, she's like crazy. Like this older lady, like, I guess, like, one of her kids.
Her son's gonna,
yeah,
gonna kill her.
Somebody's gonna be happy at Christmas. Yeah. Or not, if she doesn't get it. yeah, I'll have news from the midnight launch of the PS4 next week. I think these are my final two midnight launches ever, so.
He's playing and dying after the second one.
Yeah. I'd say, man, I'm just... One, like, I feel like a creeper when I show up at these things anymore. Like,
yeah, like, see that.
And, like, it's just really, it's a weird scene. And the way that GameStop does their midnight launches now, where you go in and you kind of finalize your thing, and they give you a number, so you're in a group.
Yeah.
So it's no longer a line. Like, you're not standing in a line. It's just this weird, like, massive glob of people out in front of the store, and it's like, this isn't fun. And it, like, it was fun, like, when I stood in the line for Modern Warfare 2 that, like, went down the shopping center around the corner and around the back. Like, you're, like, standing in a dark alley, like, with some other weirdos waiting to go get Modern Warfare 2. This is weird, but cool. Like, now it's just, like, this weird, like, hey, if they say they don't have PS4s, everyone's going to riot, and I'm probably going to die.
I do kind of like how they do it, though, because, like, you could go in at, you know, 10 o'clock and just pay your game off and then come back right before midnight and get your spot, basically.
Oh, well, you'll like this one, Jeff. They are finalizing purchases at 6 o'clock. So I can go in directly after work tomorrow and finalize my purchase and then show back up at like 5 of midnight.
Yeah,
And be in the first group, just walk in, get it, and walk out.
Nobody there will be managing the line or explaining to other people what's going on. Yeah, just do it. Just walk in the front.
Yeah. It's, I mean, like, what the hell did I go? I went for GTA, and the way they did it, they just kind of called out, like, if you're in group one, come up here, and like, you had to show them your receipt that had the number on it.
But then you always have, like, these, like, stoned idiots, like, I paid for it already. Like, no.
Right.
Fucking people are just straggling.
Or, so the ones that are like, but I paid off my pre-order, man. It's like, yeah, but you had to be here before. Like, now you have to wait. All these other people that followed the rules, like, you don't get the jump. But I paid, man.
And I know it's confusing to people. Like I used to think that back in the day too. Like, I paid the game off already, right? But basically, what they gotta do is bring you up, like, to get out of their fucking inventory.
Right. They have to finalize
so
the sale.
There. It's essentially like they sold. Like, say you go in at 9:30 and they finalize the payment. They're basically selling it to you.
Right.
They're giving you the final receipt. So it's different than having it paid off, but
people
don't get that. I understand why they don't, but
this is why I like Amazon, and it just shows up.
Yeah, I would be perfectly fine.
So much easier.
We talked about this offline, but I mean, normally I do everything through Amazon, for the most part, but I did not trust a $400 or $500 piece of software sitting on my front porch or hardware. And normally I would just go to GameStop after work and pick it up, but I am paranoid that they are going to sell my system while I'm not there. And I don't know if that would happen or not, but I've heard horror stories where they're like, but I have it pre-ordered. Well, we don't have any copies left. Like, what do you mean? I gave you $400. Where's my system? So, yeah, I'm going to go to these midnight launches, and then I'm going to retire from them. So. But, Jeff, we have any questions? Jeff is talking.
Jeff's question is can he talk now? And the answer is no. No, he can't.
Oh, is he back?
What?
Is he back? What? There. you have any questions?
I got a couple. Rabid Gummy Bear. Are you going to midnight launch for console? Why or not? We kind of discussed that a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think we just laid out why I'm doing.
Right. I am not going because I am not a creeper.
Really, I am just afraid that they're going to sell my system if I don't go at midnight and pick it up.
Yeah, it's probably it. You're right.
I'm going to go to work next Friday, and it's going to show up right at my desk. It's going to be great.
Has it shipped yet? Like, have you checked? Like, do you know if it's shipped?
Has it shipped? No. They don't normally ship until, like, the day before.
Right? Yeah.
I'm not going to worry about it till then.
And Jeff's not getting one just yet, so.
Damn it, Jeff.
Yeah.
Sell everything you want to get a console.
If I was getting one, I would maybe go to the midnight, but probably not.
I mean, there is something to be said about, like, a midnight launch. Like, it's an environment. It's kind of like this experience that you only get at those things. They're weird, though. Like, really weird. Like, it brings out the crazies. Which is kind of the fun of it. Like, so.
But it is, like, yes, that's it. But also, everyone else you're sitting there, like, with, like, you're all waiting for the same thing. You're like, come on, it's fucking 11:55, let's go. You know what I mean? I don't know.
I love listening to the conversations, like, just hearing the weird misinformation that just gets spewed at these things. Like, yo, man, like, I heard, like, PS4s will, like, suck you off. Like, what are you talking about?
I heard there's glitches, man.
Right.
Glitches. Yeah. Dude, I don't know.
I heard this Halo is like the Halo-est Halo of all the Halos ever.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about?
You do hear those, like, weird conversations where you want to, like, button and be like a total about it, but you don't.
Right. It's like you just want to correct them, but you're like, I'm just not going to say anything. Because then this guy wants to be
friend. If this were on the internet, I would correct them, but no. We're going to do that here.
Yeah, like, these are real people. like that happens at work. Like, people talk about, like, you know, video game stuff at work, and it's like, I just not even going to acknowledge this conversation is happening. Starlanders and Disney Xfinity.
I got more questions for you.
Go.
Okay.
Gigawatt asks, what's your best/worst midnight launch story? I think my best, one of my favorites is I did a Dead Rising 2 midnight launch, and there were two people that showed up. There was this little black kid that was like 12 years old, and there was me. But I was excited to have midnight, because guess what? I wanted a goddamn game.
That is sadder than, I was gonna tell one similar to that, where I went, Guitar Hero World Tour, which is like Guitar Hero 4.
They had a midnight launch
for that. Yeah, they had a midnight launch for that. And there was like 7 people outside.
Yeah.
And it was like, hey, you could just, you walk into the store and you just see the look of the faces on the clerks, like, you fuckers. Like, you are the fuckers that kept me here. The 7 of you. It's you. You are the reason I am still working. I could be home right now.
Yep.
Like, you just there's just this like feeling of shame, like I did this person a disservice.
It's like the company's not really even making money for being on that, just doing it to placate you.
Right. It's like, it's really funny. But the best one I ever had was I think it might have been my first midnight launch that I ever went to, was for Halo 3. And just the environment, the atmosphere there, like people were like legitimately excited to get their hands on that game. And I mean, now there's a lot of like cynicism within like game fans, and I don't know what's changed in that time, or maybe it's just like live people are different. But like these people were like really excited, and that made me really excited. And like at that point, I didn't know what I was getting into. Like I wasn't a big Halo fan at that point. I didn't have an original Xbox, so I hadn't played Halo 1 and 2 much earlier than that year when I got my 360. And these people were like really, really into like playing Halo. People came dressed up as like Master Chief and Cortana, and it was like, this shit is weird, and it's cold outside, and these people are like into this, and just made me want to go home and play that game. And it turned out it was really good too. So, Tony, you ever go to a midnight launch?
I have never been to a midnight launch. I normally, when I pre-order a title and pick it up launch day, I normally go like in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, the GameStop that I go to is empty. Except for one time, the only time I have never been like the only like person or like had one like person in front of me was for Skyrim.
Okay.
So I went in and it was like 10 in the morning, and normally the store is completely deserted. There was a line of like 30 people in front of me. I'm assuming all people exactly like I was, because it was Veterans Day. So nobody had to work, so everybody was there in the morning picking up Skyrim. I just thought that was awesome.
Yeah, it's cool when you see people that are like legitimately excited to get their hands on a game, and it's like, yeah.
And that it wasn't like Call of Duty or Battlefield or like a shooter.
Right, so it's like this is this cool game that like kind of like is a little bit niche, but
which game?
Skyrim.
It was Skyrim.
Oh, do you know what was great about that launch? I vividly remember this because, like, yeah, of course it's going to sell a lot of copies. It's Skyrim. But it's like, it's a total nerd game. It's not like, I don't know, it's not like Call of Duty, right?
Right.
So, like, GameStop didn't have a ton of pre-orders on that. Like, it had decent numbers, right? But, like, the turnout for that midnight was insane, man. Like, way more than predicted. Where stores were selling out all across Chicago.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It's nice to, like, actually surprise the industry. Like, they think they have it all gauged, and all of a sudden, like, huge turnout
right.
for Skyrim. Like, bigger than expected. And that game sold great, you know. I think it still sells new.
Yeah, it's a really good game, though. So.
Yeah.
What other questions we got?
Questions. Let's see. Hold on. Let's see. What game? Oh wait, I have one more for worst midnight launch. Can I share that?
Yeah.
There was a time when I pre-ordered Madden 2005, and I went to the midnight launch, sat around there for like an hour, got to the front of the line, like handed my receipt, and they're like, "Hey, we don't have your fucking game." We didn't get the fucking GameCube version. You're the only person that pre-ordered the GameCube version. And we didn't get that copy yet. I was pissed. But anyways.
That's awesome.
That happened to me once, too. I showed up on launch day for Civilization Revolutions. So I was all excited for Civ Rev. And I came in all shape, and they did not have it. I was so pissed.
On PC or what? Or no, that was
no. This was for Xbox.
Yeah.
360.
They probably
like, no, it's not a big launch day game. We don't have it. Fuck you guys.
I was the only motherfucker that got Madden on GameCube. What the fuck? Anyways, moving along. Rabbit Gummy Bear, she also asks, what game are you looking forward to pick up on the cheap this Black Friday / Cyber Monday?
Two games, I guess. Number one would be Splinter Cell Conviction.
Okay.
Which I saw was only $30 at Best Buy. So hopefully can nail that one. And Saints Row 4.
Saints Row 4 is really good.
I have my eye on Rayman Legends.
Also really good.
Yeah, like I don't know if it will go on sale. I'm assuming like it should. I don't know, but also just anything else just drops to really, really cheap. Like I've been already watching Amazon like crazy. I have a bunch of shit in my cart.
I'm hoping to snag Assassin's Creed 4.
Yes, you should do that.
I mean, I think that as past history has shown, that like that game will be one of the ones on sale.
That's what you would think of Rayman, and I have seen it go on sale, but I want the Wii U version, which never goes on sale.
Weird. And now they announced that game is coming to Xbox One and PS4.
Really?
Yeah. The Wii U version's good, though.
Yeah.
Also, I don't think that game will look much better on new systems.
It already looks like, yeah. I mean, I've seen Rayman Origins, and that game is fantastic, so.
Right, it's that art style, it's not, yeah. That's not a matter of, like.
You can't, like, do much more with that. It's like perfect as it is.
Yeah, it'll look good, but it's not gonna look, like, amazingly better. Yeah. What else we got?
Boots asks, what's the benefit of getting a next-gen console at launch versus waiting for the kinks to smooth out?
Tony?
I mean, I think a lot of it is being a part of the experience from the beginning. Like,
yeah,
you
I'd
get
agree
that whole, that whole, like, evolution. Like, I was here, I stepped in, I saw my
yeah.
Xbox grow from this...
no,
from the
sure, that's
future
of
state of whatever to the greatness it is today, and I really feel like I've gotten that experience with my 360, like going from a system that couldn't play HD movies and was really only useful for gaming, to this thing that I use for like all my home entertainment, for HBO, for Netflix live streaming, and now I'm watching stuff in HD. I don't need that stupid Blu-ray drive or that stupid
HD DVD
thing connector. I don't need any of that. Like, and to watch how all that those entertainment options have grown into what I had just purchased as this little tiny box in the beginning has been fantastic. And to be able to buy into that from the very beginning is I think the reason to get a console launch.
I
mean, you're not going to do it for the games, because launch console games normally suck. Like, there have been, like, in the history of gaming, a few exceptions, but I think now it takes too long to develop a really good game. And between the time it takes for them to develop a console and the time once that is completed to actually make a game that works really well on that console is several years. And so it's not possible to get great games at launch. So you have to start looking at more an experiential type deal for getting your benefit out of it.
Yeah, and that's why I'm going to wait, because it's cool and all. Like, there'll be little features of it that are great, but there's no game on either system. Like, to me, the biggest game on either system that I really, really want would be Dead Rising 3. But
right.
It's not enough for me to buy a console. But I totally get where you're coming from, because I would do it. I don't know. I guess I would do it, but I'm not going to do it this time.
Yeah, if you're telling me you're buying a console at launch and you're listing off the games that you're gonna get and that's why you're picking it up, I'm probably not thinking that you're very smart.
Well, dude, it used to be like there were a lot of consoles where like when they launched there was a big game for it, like Super
right.
Mario World. You get packed in with Super Nintendo.
Well, I mean even Xbox had Halo at launch.
Yeah.
But since then it hasn't been the case for anything really.
Like in the last generation or two, there hasn't been like one game that stands out. You have to get the console for that. That I can think of.
Yeah, I mean the Wii U is going on its second year, and the first like truly must have game is finally coming out.
I don't know. You're going a little far on that.
What must have games have there been for the Wii U?
I think Pikmin 3 was one. I don't know. I mean,
but that's
a must have game that no one has.
Well,
by the way, you played that, didn't you, Chris? Like,
I did.
Did you guys talk about that?
I don't know if we did. I'll give like a short rundown on my experience with Pikmin 3. That game is really good. It's not for me, and it's not going to be for everyone. It's not my type of game. Like,
it's not my type of game. Like, I'm not into strategy games at all.
I think the only reason you're not into strategy games is because you can't play them, because most of them are on PC. I feel like the strategy games you've played, you've enjoyed.
No, I liked XCOM for what it was worth, but like once it started to get hard, like no, I didn't like it. But Pikmin is like they make it accessible, like they kind of.
It's entirely accessible. It's just like it's also, I don't know. I just got overwhelmed with the, you know. Once you started splitting and you had to be controlling like different teams of people doing different tasks,
which you never did in the previous ones, just so
like
you know.
I just it got to me where I'm like, I kind of need to be in direct control of everything when I play games, and like in this, it's very much set up. It wants you to kind of assign a task to a team, and then go and assign a task to the other team, and then kind of like control one team and let the other teams kind of do their things as you assign them. But like, I want to control everything, so I ended up like just screwing myself into a corner.
Well,
the way I was playing it, I was like, this is really cool, it's really pretty, it's an interesting type of game, it's just not a game that was made for me, and that's okay. Not every game needs to be made for me.
But as far as the team things go, like, that has never been in the previous ones, and the only times I used that in Pikmin 3, really, is if there was a puzzle that required you to use multiple team members, like, where you had to throw one to the next, like, spot or whatever.
So, like, I mean, I quit at, like, day 7 or so, like, which was, like, I mean, I spent a good couple hours playing the game, but, like, I had just got into, like, the third big area. Where you're kind of like split off, and you only have two teams at that point, and you're split off from one or the other. Like you've crash landed in this ice area, and it's like because of the way the game was designed, like I'm controlling the lady trying to get over there, and then I finally figure out like, oh shit, I should have been doing something with the other guy the entire time because the rest of the pieces are on his side of the fucking river. And now I have no fucking juice because I've been fucking around over here trying to kill things and figure out what's going on. I'm like, I'm good. I understand this game. It's pretty cool. It's very pretty. It's, you know, charming. Has tons of charm. But
don't you love the music when you go up at night? It's like, doo.
Oh, yeah. There's a ton to love about that game. It's just like, for me, it wasn't a game that like I'm like, yeah, I need to keep playing this. Like, I moved away from it. I could see why people really like it and think it's cool. It's just, it's not for me. That's okay. Doesn't make it a bad game. It's just.
I don't think that's okay, but okay. I don't accept the fact that you don't love it.
I mean, it's okay. It's okay that I don't love it, Jeff. You can love it, and it's still a good game. It's just not a game for me.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I don't want your feelings to be hurt. But yeah, like, I mean, that, to me, like, if I was to recommend the Wii U to somebody, like, now would be the time. Like, there are games to play on it that are good. Pikmin.
Yeah, there's a handful, yeah.
Lego City, Zombie U.
And once you get that Mario. Oh, that Mario. That game, I have really high hopes for that game.
Yeah, that's the game, though. That's the game, like if you've been waiting...
I think it's gonna be better than a lot of people think, too. Like, I think it's gonna surprise people how good it is. I hope.
Yeah. I'm hearing more and more people get excited for it, so...
Yeah.
The more they show that game.
We have one last question for Tony. It's from Justin. Directed towards you. Is XCOM Enemy Within worth the purchase, or should I wait to pick it up?
I have Enemy Within. I actually got my review code yesterday. I have not yet played it. So.
Oh, that's like a new one?
Yeah, so they basically, they did a massive overhaul / expansion. In fact, it's so massive that, on consoles, it's a completely new release. Whereas on PC, it's actually just an add-on. New game. It came out Tuesday. So, I'm excited to get into it, but, the download took forever last night, and obviously we've been podcasting, so I haven't been playing.
So you should definitely buy it.
The reviews have been really, really positive, so, and I'm glad to have something that will get me through to next Friday.
Yeah, like, I think that's why I bought the new Call of Duty. It's like, I need something to play before Mario and Zelda come out. Like, those are, like, the ones I'm looking forward to.
And after next Friday, it's dead zone, right? Like, there's nothing.
No, there was going to be South Park, but not anymore.
Yeah, there was going to be South Park. There was going to be an expansion to Europa Universalis 4 that also got moved to the spring. I was sad. I know Jeff was sad, too.
Meh.
That was only the first delay for that expansion, though, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they announced it, and then they almost immediately delayed it.
I mean, it's not like South Park, which is like the 350th delay, right. So. I was optimistic for that game when it was coming out in December. I am considerably less so now.
You know what? It could have honestly been a timing thing. Where they're just like, it'll
more. They actually said that it wasn't finished.
Big spring game? Huh?
They said that it wasn't finished, that it wasn't up to quality standards. That's why they delayed it.
Yeah, they can say whatever they want, but like...
You don't say something like that if it's not absolutely true.
It could very well be true, but to me, like, that game I think does better as a big spring game rather than a small end of fall game.
I mean, when is... It's coming around, like, the same time as Dark Souls 2, which could be bad for it.
It'd be bad for me, because I would choose Dark Souls 2, but it's bad for it. Yeah.
I mean, it depends, like...
I don't know, you think that's the same?
I mean, some of it, so, like, you're...
Yeah, exactly.
You're that, I'm that, like, I would get Dark Souls 2 and South Park, but if they are, like, right on top of each other, probably only gonna get one, and I'm probably gonna get the one that I have more confidence in.
True.
And being as, South Park is an Obsidian game, I have considerably less confidence in it to be good. I know that, say we will about Demon's Souls and Dark Souls, like, there's a quality to those games.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's it.
Yeah, I have no more questions.
And we will be back next week with, I will be back with PS4 impressions. Tony might have a stack of Xbox One review titles sitting on his desk. Just kind of taunting him at that point.
No.
Oh, you poor baby.
Yeah, Billy, it's so awful.
I'm playing all these next gen games. Oh my god.
Or will be very shortly. So. Yeah, I mean it's we're getting into that that weird period of the year, but as Jeff said, very shortly Mario, Zelda, Xbox One. We're gonna have stuff to talk about. Is Fozzie getting a PS4?
I don't know. I would imagine he probably's getting something. Knowing him.
I think he's getting an Xbox One. I didn't know if he was getting both though.
I don't know, he could go PS4, man. Could happen.
He could.
I don't know why. I mean, no insult to Tony, but I don't know why, if you have a choice of both, one's $100 cheaper, why you go Xbox One?
You don't know why?
Yeah.
Didn't I just explain that I was getting my console for non-gaming reasons?
No.
And the PS4 at the moment is a gaming console without a whole lot of games?
Alright. You're right.
And
fine.
Yes, I know I'm right.
I mean, that is kind of the catch-22 of Sony's. We're making a game system. And a game system is it. To sell a game system, you need games.
Come to me next year when you have Infamous Second Son, and you have MLB The Show, and you have some other games that I want.
Because
right now you don't have any that I want. You don't have a single one.
Yeah, like, I mean,
just,
like...
Just for me, though, if it's cheaper and it's slightly better hardware, I'd be like, why the fuck not go that way?
Right, but I can have both if I wait.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, of course.
And I'm going to get the one that I'm actually going to use for things.
Yeah.
Right, so I think at least the three of us here, and Don, and probably Fozzie as well, like, at some point we're going to end up owning both these systems. Halo comes out, Jeff, you're going to want an Xbox One.
Yeah, of course. I'm not above my impulses.
Right, and it's like...
Oh, we know.
And it might take a while for you to get to that point, but it'll probably happen. Like, I mean...
There'll be a day I'm walking past it, and I'm just like...
That's pretty.
Give me that.
It'll be like, oh, guys, guess what? I got an Xbox One. Great plan,
it'll
Jeff.
It'll probably be next week, but... sell this. God damn it.
Yeah, like, I mean, if I had to choose based on games at this point, I would choose, like, an Xbox One. Just, I think their launch titles are stronger.
I think so, too.
But... It's not that much stronger.
No, it's not great. If I was going to buy one, I'd buy Xbox One for Dead Rising 3. You know?
I mean, and you're not into racing, but Forza 5 is great.
Of course.
Rise. But on the Kinect side, like Zoo Tycoon actually looks pretty cool.
Just Dance.
That's all you do.
Yeah.
Get down.
If you didn't quite catch that on Twitter, somehow we roped Tony into doing the review of that.
How? Do you like dancing games?
Not particularly, no. But
it was more Ubisoft wanted to know who to send the next gen titles to.
So that one, Tony.
It kind of like they're also sending supposedly going to be sending AC4, and it made sense to me because Tony's doing the review for AC4. It made sense to me for him to kind of do the follow up on next gen, and you know if you're going to package Just Dance 2013 there as well.
Awesome.
He could dance around his living room.
That's right.
It's
posting right. Video for Jeff's enjoyment.
Yeah.
You need a video review for that. It's required.
But yeah, we'll be back next week with more stuff, more talking and stuff.
There'll be a podcast. Together.
Yeah, that's what we do. That's what we do here. Say goodnight, Jeff.
Goodnight, Jeff.